In your back, faithful. We sing fire the fire. Fight your home. Padre, trusting that I'll take a way that we can take. So, Padre, what felt like Mount Everest, no, and I'd have the strength for the climb. Cause through every trial, each test and temptation, you'll send me to that hope. Again, God is faithful. Oh, again. I have no hesitation. God does what he says. And I'd have to say every battle has taught that there's nothing he won't help me do. So why should I dwell on the heartaches and struggle when I look just beyond and can see that the way this world is with great celebration? That's even at my heart, I believe that hope reaches up again and again. God is faithful. Oh, again through sin, he's faithful. Bit of what I'm talking about this message today, Matthew chapter 11. Title of the message is God can do the impossible when we give it all. He did. God can move those. God can give you that wisdom. God can direct you to make the right decisions. And to thank you. But let's go ahead and read here in Mark chapter number 11. It says, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I have taken your heart, and you shall find rest. For my yoke is burden is light." Let's go ahead and open with the word of prayer here. Father, I come to you just thankful for who you are, Lord. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for just the service that we've had so far today. Thank you for just the opportunity to praise you, and worship you, and pray, Lord. Thank you we can come to you. We can ask and pray and bring our requests before you. You hear us. I'm thankful that you're the God, merciful God, God of goodness. Lord, I'm thankful that we have the word of God in our language. We have it here. We can go and get that. How to live this place. Your will, Lord. And I pray you just be with this message to be with the sermon. Say it. Honor and glorify you. Father, if there's someone here, Lord, that doesn't know you as their Savior, Father, we pray that you convict them if they need you today, Lord. You work in their lives if they receive you as their Savior. Father, I pray for the revival services coming up, that you just leave in that, move in the hearts of the ones that are Christians and the ones that come that are not saved, that they would work in their hearts and you bring us closer to you as a result. The ones that don't know you as their Savior, turn to you, Lord. Jesus and friends. Amen.
So here in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking and he says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. So many times when we're going throughout our lives, we're facing those difficulties, those trials, those testing times in our life, we can be burdened down with the load of what comes in this world, those difficulties, those trials, time fatigues. Loaded. God's perspective is, hey, look at each other. Here, granted, he passed away at night. Off topic here, but it's all right. We must realize that despite our circumstances, despite what our circumstances say, God's word, God on every step gets through. Circumstances, this is tricky sometimes. We look at our circumstances, and it's as if our circumstances are saying that maybe God's not going to improve. Maybe it's God really. He says that God really loves us. God really cares. Does God really know? Does God really see what's going on? And does God really have the answer? Or does His Word have the answers? Those are what our circumstances can often tell us. But when we face a circumstance that causes us to question God's will, we need to realize that what does the Bible say? Because the Bible doesn't change. And the Bible is God's Word, who will direct us to the right path, who will help us in every time when we come to it and seek wisdom, seek the answers. We cannot trust our circumstances. And oftentimes, Satan can be behind those, afflicting us, getting us off track, getting us to question the will of God. And I think we see this in the book of Ruth, Elimelech. He was in the will of God in the land of Judah, and a famine comes to him. So, picture, and you can look this up later. I'm not much in the book of Ruth. I'm hiding there a little bit, but Elimelech's in the land of Judah. He's in the will of God. Famine comes to the land. Instead of going to God, they take time, and move to another foreign land, which would be outside the will of God, because God wanted those people at that location at that time. He didn't counsel from God. He didn't figure out what God wanted from him. He moved his family outside the will of God, and he lost his life. His two sons lost his life, and he comes back, or his wife comes back a year later. He makes a mistake, went out full, and came back empty. And so many times that can be true. That same principle can be true in our lives if we're not careful. We can be in those circumstances where we feel like we're weighted down, we're not sure what to do. But instead of going to God, we can be tempted to try to figure it out on our own, or maybe get counsel from the wrong people around us. We got to be careful who we get counsel from. We need to ask ourselves if we're getting counsel, is what they're saying biblical? Is it aligned with Scripture? Is it aligned with what God's calling is for my life? And if we're not careful, we can get ourselves outside the will of God and reap a whirlwind of consequences because of making those decisions in the midst of a test, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a difficult time. But God can do the impossible if we're willing to give it all over to Him. Look back at the passage we're here in Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read it again. Come unto me, all ye that labor. So that's us. That's you. That's me. We're saved or not saved. He said, come to me, all ye that labor, heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Are you heavy laden? What are you heavy laden? Fine. You know, I got to figure it out on my own. It's going to be pretty difficult for you to get out of that situation. You're not going to have the wisdom that God can bring to your mind. You're not going to have that good direction that God can give you if you're trying to do it all. God wants us to be more with us, not in the self or what this world said. But this world will be kind of the answer to what you need, and that's what you do. So much of what they're focused on are things that are not going to last, the things that are just going to burn up. When I work for fire, fire, and everything, fire, that's what I said. So, glorify God with so much of it is temporal. Look at verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon front of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He shall not. And I think so many people think they're going about the wrong way trying to find rest, trying to find that. You know, God promises you can have that. You can have it. So whole time or a mountain or a valley that you're in, that you're facing, God promises you can have that peace, that calmness. It's always mean we're going to be excited to go through that thing. But it means God bring us the peace, the passage of all understanding, the joy of speaking, full of glory, that calm. Not worried, you're not fretting, you're not fearing about everything. Why? Giving it all over to Him. Think of the passage in, I believe it was 1 Peter. It says, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. God cares for us so much. That sometimes can feel so heavy, it feels like we're almost about to death. I mean, you look at Caden, you see a lot of valleys like that. I wrote songs to him, he would say, maybe I walk this valley of the valley. He would say in there, I felt like me and God's father. He's looking at the circumstance around him. He felt like there was my place. He felt like God was in the truth. He felt like, I mean, he was a normal here. Here you have the Israel coming after him, trying to kill him with his army. It seems like God's left him. It seems like God's not going to come to him. It's like his word to be true. Given everything over to Him. If we can learn the principle of passing our care on Him, getting rid of our loads, giving it over to Him, and taking on His yoke, it'll help us get through those. It'll help us realize that God can be an impossible. But what do we have to do in order to take His yoke? Well, we have to get rid of our loads. Because if you've got a bunch of burdens on you and you're coming to God and trying to take His yoke, you can't pull that yoke very easy. You can't pull the load He wants to pull with you. If you have all those loads on you, you have to get rid of your problems and your loads. What do you do with that? You give it over to Him. That doesn't necessarily mean your problems are going to go away, but it's you're saying, Lord, I'm leaving the consequences to obey you. I'm going to submit to you. I'm going to humble myself before you. and I'm going to obey you however you believe. Need all the principles. I thought about this. Finally, I was on a trip out to India, and my sister was out there. She said, this is my first time in India. She said, Noah, once you get to the New Delhi airport, you've got nothing to worry about. They all speak English. You can get around those, no problem. So I was like, okay, this is great. So I go there, and they'd be like, all right, you go down the hallway, left, upstairs. All right, so we can go up hallway, up the steps, and go down. Like, okay, go to another guy, the same one. Let's go get somebody else, the security guy. Ask them, they're like, oh, elevator up, second story. I'm like, okay, great. Go to the elevator, second story, come on, door is open. And there's farm guards, the N16s. And they're like, no. Some super, secure place out there. So can't go to 4 hours. The patrol during the group of us, with me and the others, and the one that came for the tickets, they were worried sick because they were about, we're going to have to buy new tickets, it looks like. The plane's supposed to leave in like an hour and a half or something. We're still lost. Can't find our way around. Still have to get to security. We couldn't find security because we have no idea where we're at. And they were worried sick because they're going to have to buy new tickets. Often I was sitting back, I was laughing. I was just like, this is great, you know. But I wasn't worried about it. Because it wasn't my law. I didn't pay for the ticket, somebody else did. And I thought, you know, if we could get that principle and apply it to the things in our lives, all of what we had, it's not even ours in the first place. If we can get that principle, we don't even have to worry about what we could lose or what we might lose. Because if we have Jesus, that's all that we need. And everything in our lives, God's given to us. It's a gift from God. We get to glorify him. So if he takes it away, okay, that's fine. We still have Jesus. If he takes away our wealth, if he takes our good health away, what is God trying to teach you? Maybe he's trying to teach us to love him more. Maybe he's trying to teach us, like Paul said, that my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And maybe he's trying to teach us to help somebody else out, so they're going through the same situation. Oftentimes, we can overlook when we're facing valley shine, facing a testing or a deep test. We can overlook the principles and the lessons that God's trying to teach us through them. That will help us. It help us be a stronger fit. It help us be a better life in the other side. It help us keep other people going through those same difficult times. It'll help us glorify God more, to help us be closer to God. And oftentimes, God wants us to have that close relationship with him, and he allows circumstances in our lives to bring us close to him. We can either resist that, try to get out of our trials, get in debt with our lives, or resist the lessons that God's. We can go through that cycle over and over and over again. What is God trying to teach you through the trials and the testing in your life? Is he trying to teach you to be more reliant on him? Is he trying to teach you that he's going to come through for you? You just have to come to him and trust him. Is he trying to teach you how to be more like him and less like this world? Is he trying to teach you not to be focused on what's temporal, to be focused on him? Think of Job. He lost it all. You go through and read all of what he had. He was one of the greatest men in the East, or I think it was, he says the greatest man in the East as far as wealth, things that he had. And he lost it all with just in a few days. And then he's sitting by himself, his job.
Thank you.
my yoke. What's saying? I'm God with the verse. All clothes. Bring it up to one that's older, that's been plowing for years, that knows the path, that knows where he's supposed to go. And they yoke him up together. And that older one would, the younger one sometimes wouldn't even be pulling that much. He would just have to allow the older one to die. And over time, he would learn from that older one. When the master was calling to go to the left, or when they were wanting him to go to the right, but when they wanted him to go a little faster. And that's the picture here it's talking about. When we come under God's yoke, we're submitting to him. We're allowing him to do a lot of it for us. We're allowing him to guide us. We're allowing him to help us step by step. And that's how we get through a lot of things. Submitting ourselves, giving up our problems over to him, allowing him to lead us. One more passage. James chapter 1. Go here real quick. James chapter 1, it says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. The trying of your faith worketh patience. So he's talking to the brethren. So he's talking to the Christians here. I think it's interesting. He called them stuff. His own. This thing we're going to do is that. But if he were without God, all God's. We're allowing God to lead us. We're taking what we have and saying, Lord, how can I use this? How can I use this? We're all called. They mean you're going to work a regular job, but you're called to do something with what's all to the right. All for God is talent. James here said he called himself a servant in verse 2. It says, knowing this at the time of our faith, with it, but our patience perfect will be made in both. One, any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that can be spoken liberally, pray it not, himself, and give it not. But let them ask faith, there's some principles you can learn in this verse. It says, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. So what are the principles here we can learn? We have to understand, Lord, I lack your understanding. I lack the power, and I need you. And that takes humility. We've got to, number one, have humility. God resists the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. If you can humble yourselves, come to him and realize, Lord, I lack understanding. I lack the wisdom. I lack the understanding of how to get through this difficult time. And the next principle is ask. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth all the good and upright of him. Realize, who's the one that does have all the power? Who's the one that does have all the wisdom? Who's the one who does have all the understandings and knows all the ins and outs of your situation, of the problems that you're facing, of the loads that you're bearing? Who understands that? Nobody understands that more than God does. And that's why it's so important to humble before you. Lord, I need some wisdom in this area. I need some wisdom in that area. I think it's interesting. So many times we can be going through our life and we're facing problem after problem. We haven't stopped. Like, we haven't even stopped that. Lord, if you help me in this situation, if you give me some wisdom in this situation, when you guide me, open the doors, close the doors. God wants us to come to Him. And I think of my dog, his name's Swirl. I rescued him. He's an Alaskan Husky, and he got so much in me. And I rescued him from one of the Charlotte, North Carolina, the big city, living in the town. I think somebody raised him in a part of his whole life. He's still a puppy. And I rescued him, took him out to the country where my parents were, took him out to the river, and he was clueless about how to live out in the river. I mean, he didn't know what a frog was, or he didn't know what a bird was, he didn't know what a creek, a stick, he was scared of like everything. So I take him to the river, he's scared of the river. I mean, I had to help him swim across, and he gets on the other side, and sees a squirrel, runs off chasing that squirrel, but the squirrel runs up a tree and he just keeps on running and running and running and running. And so I wait at the bank of the river and I wait and wait and wait. And I was like, okay, let's move on. Yeah. And so I call out his name. You know, I hear a little howl way far down the river. Nah, I can't hear him. That's like must be a half of my horse, so there's no way he's that far. Call out again and then turn up respond. Like, yep, that's so I go after him up the river. He's way farther than I thought he would be. And he's stuck in this little ditch. Any dog could have climbed out of it. It was just a shallow. It wasn't even like a ditch that dropped down steep. It was just a little invention like that near the river. He was just running around in circles, howling, trying to figure out, how do I get out of this? And, you know, I thought, so often that can be else. But he called out. That's how I knew it. That's why I got able to go help him and lift him out of the little, I was going to say fit, but it wasn't even the fit. It was just a little invention in the ground. But he called out. And in our lives, we need to learn, just like here in James, to call out to Him. It takes humility to realize, Lord, I don't have the answers. Lord, I need your help. Lord, I need your help in this situation. I need your help in that situation. That takes humility. But then we need to call out. Once we have that humility, realize God has the answers, call out to Him because He's the one that can help us. And a lot of times, He's the only one that can help us. He's the only one that can get us through those situations. He's the only one that can give us that peace that passes all understanding, that joy that we so easily can lose when we get focused on the things that are temporal. So number one, be humble. Number two, realize who has the answers. And number three, call out to Him. Number four, have faith. Look at verse 6, and I'll be done here. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. We got to have faith in God. How do we have faith? Well, I think a lot of times those testing times will increase our faith. The disciple says, Lord, I believe it was one of the disciples asked the Lord to increase his faith. I don't remember who said that. But that means God for the Lord. It's fine. So if we see God come through, but we've got to be willing to come to God and ask for His help, ask for His direction. God, look at verse 5. God promises the best thing to my offer. Never not come for me, but they come for me. God can do the impossible and put it all over this. Have a word of prayer. And for God, I propose. Thank you.